Welcome back to Sweet Script Stories. My name is Eric Grubaugh. It's just me today, so I thought I would do a little reflection on the last year or so of my client projects, which seem to, coincidentally, all have centered around how to use source control effectively for NetSuite development. So I've looked back on those, and I've tried to distill down a few observations into actionable advice for you. Before we dive in, you should know that this show is made possible by the members of the Sustainable SuiteScript community. You can join hundreds of other NetSuite developers who receive regular lessons and ideas directly from me for free by signing up for the mailing list at sustainablesuitescript.com. So the first piece of source control advice that I have for you is to use source control. And for the seasoned developers out there, that maybe sounds obvious, but the observation I've made over the last decade of NetSuite development is that source control seems much less common in the NetSuite niche than it does in any other niche that I have participated in. That does seem to be changing a little bit, seems to be improving, but there's still a gap. And I attribute that gap to the fact that a lot of NetSuite developers get here through a non-traditional software background. They are not classically trained software engineers. They are admins who need to add SuiteScript knowledge. They are consultants who want to become technical consultants or who want to be able to have conversations with their development team, have technical conversations with their development team. And so they don't have the experience with code and with the tools that support writing code like source control or version control. So again, if you are a seasoned developer, maybe this tip is not quite for you. You're already using source control. You know why you're using it. You know how to use it. But for everyone else, version control or source control, I use them interchangeably, is a software industry standard tool. We use it to track the history of changes to our code over time. It lets us compare different versions of the same file. It lets us merge those changes together. It lets us back up those files and share them, collaborate on them with other developers. It helps us to isolate changes for specific tasks, features, lets us roll back to any previous version. What I consistently observe in these NetSuite teams that aren't using source control is that they try to homebrew something that does these things I just mentioned. They try to make their own backup and version tracking and history system. And they do that. The developers keep multiple copies of the same file on their hard drive, and then they rename them with different version numbers or date timestamps. And then they're emailing them back and forth with their team, or they are uploading to some file sharing, drive, or some file sharing application. And it opens up this logistical communications nightmare. It's chaos, usually. If this is you, I promise you, your life can get a lot easier because this is a solved problem in the software space and has been for decades. So the actionable part of this actionable advice is to start learning source control. I'll have a bunch of links in the show notes for resources to get you started. Git is the most popular at the moment, and so that's where I would start. There are other options, but that's a great starting point. And so my advice is to get started. Start learning now and add source control to your repertoire, to your process. Your life will get a lot less chaotic, I promise. Advice number two follows right on the back of that. Once you start using source control, study some common branching patterns and use one of them. I have seen many different branching strategies deployed and work successfully in the NetSuite space, but I know the one that never works is not picking a strategy. Especially if you have a team of developers, then what you end up with is developers with different levels of source control experience. Some of them will only write on the main branch. Others will make their feature branches. Others will follow Git flow. There's a lot of different strategies, and Each one will bring their own experience. Each developer will bring their own experience and sort of do it their own way. If you don't decide as a team what is the branching strategy that you're going to use. So I just mentioned a couple of common branching strategies. There's trunk-based development. There's Git flow. My branching strategy, I just have a simple main branch, which represents my stable production-ready code. Then I create individual feature branches for every task. If there are related tasks that need to get deployed together, once they're individually complete, I group them up into a release branch, test the release branch, and then merge that into main and deploy the project to production. So there are lots of different strategies that you can use. Many of them, all of them can be successful, but you have to pick one. So that's my advice here. The action item here is to study different branching strategies. Again, I'll have some resources in the show notes, and pick one and use that across the whole team. Make sure every developer on the team uses the same strategy. That leads me straight into the third advice, which is more of a trap that I see a lot of teams fall into. And so my advice is to separate your environment tracking from your development lifecycle. And so what I mean by that is what I consistently observe again is that teams want, once they start branching, they want certain branches to match specific NetSuite accounts. So they want their main branch to match production. They want their develop branch, if they're following Git flow, to match one of their sandboxes. And what I observe time and time again is that this just causes a ton of pain. The only source of truth for what is deployed in a NetSuite account is the NetSuite account. I was working with a team of three developers, a group of three NetSuite admins were making their own changes. Completely separate of the dev team, their project management processes were completely separate, their approval processes were separate, their deployment processes were separate. So the admins and the developers were making changes and the other team was none the wiser. But they're still managing the same objects because NetSuite is a shared target environment. When the admin team was going through SOX compliance and SOX auditing, they were making tons of permission changes to custom records and fields and things like that. But those same custom records and field definitions were in the dev team's SDF project in their repository. So every time they deployed, they would overwrite all of the admin's permission changes. And so when you try to force your, or assume, even worse, if you try to assume that one of your branches matches an environment, this is the kind of thrashing and collision that happens, especially when you don't have complete, total ownership over the account itself. So making the assumption that main always matches production, for instance, it makes sense. I understand where the impulse comes from, but it's false. It's fake. You have a false sense of security. Unless you build some elaborate real-time syncing engine, which is wildly impractical, you don't actually have a source of truth for the environment. And even if you do sync changes directly, say you regularly pulled production down into your main branch, you're going to introduce the same thrashing. It just goes the other way. So you're going to have these potentially unstable commits on your main branch. So now your main branch becomes unreliable. It's no longer stable. So what do we do instead? Like I mentioned, my advice is to separate the environment tracking from the development lifecycle. What I typically do with teams is if they want to track an environment in their repository, we can make that happen. But we have to do that separate from our development lifecycle, separate from our main branch, separate from our feature branches, whatever branching strategy we're following. The environment stuff has to be separate, isolated from all of that. We make one dedicated branch for each target account. And the only commits on those branches are just downloaded updates from the NetSuite account. Maybe that happens once a week. Maybe it happens once a day. Maybe it happens right before deployment. Maybe it's automated. Maybe it's manual. That's more up to the individual team and what sort of experience and tools they have on hand. But the point is that this environment tracking, the responsibility of answering the question, hey, what's deployed in that account, is not in your development lifecycle branches, so that when you pull down those updates, they don't disrupt your active development lifecycle. So my rules for this, my actionable advice, move your environment tracking to dedicated branches, and then make sure that every commit on your main branch, whatever that might be, is considered deployable. That's considered stable, complete, production ready code, but it's not what's in production. My next piece of advice, don't use your repository as your project management tool or your issue tracker. A lot of times I see teams that want to use their branch names as some sort of status indication for their tasks. I worked with one client who wanted their project managers to get status updates by looking at the repository, looking at the commits, looking at the branches in the repository. I understand the impulse here. Again, developers hate to update Jira or any other ticket tracking system, but project managers are going to hate looking at your repository equally, and it actually doesn't work that well anyway. You can't look at a single commit in a repository and get the full picture of the status of that corresponding task. But I see a lot of teams make one branch per status, and that sort of makes sense. So as a task, you know, a task starts out down as a feature branch, then it goes to a test branch, then it goes to a UAT branch, and then it goes to main or production or whatever they call their default branch. But all that means is that the status of that task is spread out across a whole bunch of branches. But when you look at a repository, you're only ever looking at one commit at a time. You have to search and Sherlock Holmes your way through the repository to build up this composite image of the status of any particular task. And then you have to do that, if you're a project manager, you have to do that across multiple tasks, across multiple projects. It's not going to work. And the dev team can't easily export that information for you either. So the actionable advice here is pretty simple. If you want project management and issue tracking features, use a project management tool or an issue tracking tool. Don't use your repository for something it was not designed for. Use your repository for history tracking, for collaboration on your code. That's what it was made for. Now, the nice thing is most source control providers these days have that sort of thing built in. They have project management tools, they have issue tracking, they have that sort of stuff built in. So it's right next to the repository, but it's not the repository itself that's doing that work. Right, the next one is a big one. Don't try to fix a collision problem using source control. So a lot of teams run into this collision problem where two developers are working on the same file and trying to deploy it to the same account. They're overwriting each other, and you get this thrashing collision. I had one client come to me with a whole bunch of different branching strategy ideas, and they wanted me to figure out which one would eliminate their collision problem. They had, I think, 4 or 5 developers. 2 worked in the same office, 3 worked in a different office. And so they weren't sitting next to each other, and they were consistently overwriting each other, working on the same files and overwriting each other. The cause of the problem is that you have too many developers working on the same file at the same time. That's not a problem that gets fixed by any source control strategy. Instead, you have a software design problem, a resource allocation problem, and a communication problem. So what we do to avoid this, or to minimize it, because NetSuite is a shared target environment, we can't fully completely eliminate the possibility of collision, but we can really minimize it with a few different steps. The first step is the software architecture piece. The only way collision happens is if more than one person is working on the same file at the same time and trying to deploy it. And files are the only organizational structure that matters here. Folders don't matter, modules, functions, none of that matters, only files. So you can eliminate a lot of collision problems by breaking your code into more files. Most commonly, what I see in teams with a consistent collision problem is that they have very few files. They have lots of code in very few files, usually right there in the entry point. Their entry point scripts are very long. Some teams take one step and sort of put logic from the entry points into functions, and then they move functions into one humongous library file. That's a good first step, but we still run into the same problem. Now all the developers collide on the library file instead of on the entry points. So from a software design perspective, we need to decompose our code into functions, group those related functions into modules, and put those modules into their own files. The specifics of what goes in a function and what goes in a module, where the files live, that's all based on the project and the team and what their preferences are. That doesn't really matter when it comes to collision. When we're talking about collision, all that matters is that we make more files. There's balance to be struck here. We don't want millions of files. No one would ever be able to maintain your code, even you. We want to split up our code reasonably and logically into a few different files. Where the boundaries are for those files is up to the team, but having more files will help alleviate a lot of the collision issues. Once we address the software design piece, then we can address the resource allocation piece. Part of our planning process needs to consider not just which person is working on which task, but also which files are or might be involved in that task. Part of your planning process is already allocating resources to different tasks, but it also needs to consider allocating resources to different areas of your code base. Assigning multiple resources to work on the same area of the code base at the same time increases your risk, your likelihood of collisions. So we want to consider, as part of our resource allocation process, in communication with the dev team, what files, what area of the code is this likely to involve? That doesn't mean two developers can't be working on the same file in the same sprint or whatever sort of iteration or cycle of planning you use. It just means we're flagging ahead of time. Hey, you two might be working on this same file at the same time, so be aware of that. Communicate with each other. If we are talking about this in the planning process, in the resource at resource allocation time, then we are raising our awareness and lowering the risk of collision. Once we address the planning problem, then we address the communication problem. If your developers are consistently colliding, they're probably not talking to each other very well. This requires a little bit of discipline on the part of developers. Be proactively communicative, especially when you are deploying. And doubly so when you know someone else is working in the same area of code or in the same account that you are. But whenever you need to deploy and test, send a Slack message, send an email, shout over the cubicle wall, figure out what the best means of communication is for your team so that you can proactively communicate to each other, hey, I need this account, I need these files in this account for this amount of time. It doesn't have to be super rigorous or formal or monitored or tracked, but being that little bit of proactive communication is way easier than trying to untangle the collision over, you know, your changes got overwritten, you wasted a bunch of time testing and trying to figure out a problem when you didn't realize, oh, somebody overwrote my file. A Slack message ahead of time goes a long way. So to rewind just a little bit, summarize all of that, to address a consistent collision problem, First, start decomposing your code into more files. Your files are probably too large. Start being aware of who's working on what files, not just who's working on what task at what time. And when you deploy, when you need to deploy or test, make sure you're communicating with other people who may also need to be deploying and testing. And the last thing I have for you is maybe not so much a tip as much as it is an opinion, but it's an interesting observation that through multiple channels, I've heard this from clients, I've heard this in Slack, I've seen this on Reddit, teams want NetSuite to build and provide some sort of source control or version control for us. I definitely understand where that comes from. You're putting your code in NetSuite, and why can't NetSuite version control it? But I completely disagree. From an ideological perspective, we're already dependent on NetSuite enough. I don't need yet another claw, another hook in. But most importantly, this, as I mentioned before, this is a solved problem. Source control is a solved problem with freely and widely available solutions. There are multiple options on the market, mostly available for free, that have been around for decades. They are robust in their features, in their support, in their documentation, in their help, in their content available on the internet. We don't need NetSuite to spend 5 years reinventing the wheel to solve a problem that's already been solved. I think it raises too many questions. If NetSuite were to do this, what happens if you are building a Salesforce integration? You have some NetSuite code, some Salesforce code. Where does the Salesforce code live? Do you put it in NetSuite source control? Do you leave it out in GitHub and now your code is bifurcated for the project? That doesn't make a ton of sense to me. That seems like it would be a coordination nightmare. I think it limits collaboration. Right now, if I want to have another developer look at my code, I can add them to my GitHub account, my GitLab account. I can show them a pull request. Is NetSuite going to build on that stuff? Do I have to give that other developer access to my NetSuite account now? I don't necessarily want to do that. Do I have to pay extra for this new feature that NetSuite's building? Probably. So I think it just raises a whole bunch of questions for very little gain. As I said, this is a solved problem. And then what's the opportunity cost if NetSuite were to spend years building this version control system? What could they have built instead in the years that they spent doing that? You know, how could the developer experience have improved otherwise instead of having them resolve this solved problem? So I don't really have any actionable advice here other than maybe don't want NetSuite to do that. But like I said, this is less a tip and more of an opinion. It's just something interesting that I've seen crop up multiple times that really catches my attention. So that is all I have for you today on source control. And that will bring this episode of Sweet Script Stories to a close. If you'd like to get in touch with me directly about the show, you can email me, eric@stoic.software. Make sure you check out the Sustainable Sweet Script mailing list at sustainablesweetscript.com. And I hope you join me next time as I continue to highlight interesting stories and ideas from around the NetSuite space. I'll see you then.